Anyway, this morning we're glad to have you. We've been looking at what I have called God's visions, things that God desires, things that God wants, things that God has ambitions to accomplish. And it's interesting, I think, as we study these, because how do we know what to do unless we know what God Himself has the vision to do? And this morning is one that is difficult to explain. It's hard to understand. But it does, I think, fall in that category of things pertaining to God's vision. So let me begin by imagining that you had a dream last night, and that in that dream you were in some jungle somewhere, and that you came across two plants with rare leaves, and you came across a berry. And in this dream, those three things combined together made a serum that would produce a cure for all cancer. What a dream. You woke up and you examined to see if such leaves and berries existed, and sure enough they did, and you located the country in which these things were found, and you went there, and sure enough you went through the formula and you did make a serum that could cure all cancer. What would you do with it? So, well, I'd start me a business. Okay? How would you do that? Well, I'd buy some property. Then I'd get me some equipment made. Get me a manufacturing facility. Get me delivery trucks. Of course, I would run my own business. I'd help millions of people. And of course, I'd probably make millions at the same time. What's going to be your greatest need for you to carry out this vision produced by the dream? A dedicated workforce. Now, you're going to need that. A dedicated workforce. That is a group of people who catch your vision, who are eager to make the serum correctly so it'll work effectively, who are willing to show up at work every day, and who are willing to work when they show up at work every day. So you're going to need a dedicated workforce. Now, God has a vision, and it's that of building a kingdom, not making a serum, but building a kingdom upon this earth, the best kind that is possible to bring about the greatest amount of happiness and good possible. And we normally would call this kingdom by the word paradise. But God has the vision of building a kingdom. Now you say, well, since He's God, He can just command it into existence. Let there be a kingdom, and there it is. Well, He did that the first time around in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. He had a pretty small workforce. He only had two, Adam and Eve, but of course it was supposed to grow into a larger workforce. That was the plan as God began to build His paradise kingdom upon earth. Now, folks, that's God's vision for planet earth. To build on it a kingdom. And the success of the kingdom would rest upon, of course, the cooperation of the workforce and their dedication to His vision, which didn't last very long. By chapter 3, it's down the drain because Adam and Eve decide they don't want to be a part of His workforce. They don't want to be a part of His kingdom, and they don't even want His kingdom to be on the earth. Now, God didn't give up His vision because He lost His workforce. Understand that now. Now, God is still in the business of building on this earth a kingdom fashioned according to His purposes, His will, His desire, His plans, and His laws. He's still determined to have His vision come true. But He attempts to run His business like no one else runs a business. And that's what makes it so unusual. God has the business, He's in the business of building a kingdom, but He runs this business like nobody else runs a business. He seems to run in such a way that almost guarantees it'll never come true. That He'll never get His paradise. And I'll tell you how He thinks He ought to run His business. To me, it's very mysterious. And He abides by a principle that to me really hinders His chances for succeeding. It's a principle that He operates under. Now, as I said, all companies to succeed depend upon skilled and competent workforce. That is, those who know what they're doing and those that are good at doing what they know. God says, I will have no competent workforce. I said, what? That's right. God said, I'm going to have no skilled, competent workforce. No matter how much training I give them, no matter how much experience they have, no matter how many abilities they have, they will not be able to make my vision come true. They will not be able to build my kingdom. Now God says it must have for success my personal touch. My personal touch. I must participate in everything that's done if it is to be successful. I must be involved in making everything succeed if it is to succeed. I must have my finger in every pie, in every apple, in every cherry. I must be involved in everything that's done by my workforce. And that's what Jesus meant when He said, without His disciples, without me, you can do nothing. Now they could go fishing. They could do a lot of things. But He said, if you're going to carry out my calling and my vision as my disciples, to build my kingdom, which He talks about a lot, you cannot do it without me. Now you can do a lot of things without Jesus, but build His kingdom, you cannot. I'll not take my hand off of it so you can do it. I must myself be involved in building my kingdom. Without me, you can do nothing to build my kingdom. But that's my vision, and I brought you guys together to build my kingdom, but you can't build it without me. Now look at John chapter 15. If you have a Bible, not there's one in the pew you can look at. If not, you can just listen to what I read and hope I'm reading it right. It's always good to have a Bible to check out what I'm saying, because I'll change it up a lot, and then you can know when I change it. Jesus says of Himself, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he that abides in me and I in him, he shall bring forth much fruit. Paraphrase, he shall be a builder in the kingdom. He shall accomplish tasks that will bring the kingdom to this earth. For without me, you can do nothing. Go to verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I'm going to limit this ask what you will to that area where it pertains to building God's kingdom. Ask what you will that will enable God's vision to take place, and it shall be given to you. I am limiting this prayer promise to the building of the kingdom or the vision of God. You ask for my touch, my involvement, my power, my cooperation, and your prayer will be answered. Because you can't work the work of God, which God gives you to work, unless I work it with you. Lest I work it in you. Lest I work it through you. Now, if God has the vision of a kingdom being built on this earth, he has to do more than inspire us, get us excited about a paradise. He must do more than encourage us. And he must do more than cheer us. He must roll up his sleeves and get down here and work through us. Now, that's the way it's supposed to be accomplished. And it's here that the mystery of running his business enters the picture. He won't come down here and do what he wants and build his vision and roll up his sleeves and help me unless I ask him. Do you follow me? God's vision is an earthly kingdom, but it also includes the vision of a praying workforce. A praying workforce. Now, the first time God spoke his kingdom into being and gave himself a ready-made paradise, that's gone. In the fall of Adam and Eve, that paradise, that kingdom went down the drain. Now God says, I'm not going to do it that way the second time. I'm not going to call it into being by my power the second time. I'm going to bring it into being through the prayers of my workforce. And if they don't pray, the kingdom won't get built. And you say, boy, God, you're going to shortchange yourself on that kind of deal. Because, you know, the very thing that most Christians don't do is pray that God's kingdom be built. We don't. Not really. In other words, God says the kingdom this time is going to be prayed into existence. And you and I look around today and we say, boy, I tell you, nobody must be praying. Because this earth is not God's kingdom. I mean, it is as far from the purpose and the will of God as it has ever been. I mean, people are worse than they have ever been. This is worse. This is farther from a paradise than it has ever been. I mean, things are going worse. Things are getting worse. Times are getting bad. I mean, it must mean nobody's praying, because God's kingdom is sure not getting closer. It's getting farther and farther away. I think we had more of the kingdom of God when I was 20 years old than I am the day at 59. Things have deteriorated. We must have less folks praying than ever before. Now, Christ's disciples came to him and said, we have a problem praying, Jesus. Teach us how to pray. I said, okay. And so he gave them a skeleton framework upon which to build their prayer. You prayed this morning. We pray it every Sunday morning. But do you catch the instructions? It's interesting. We said this morning, and as he taught us to pray, what did we pray? Thy kingdom come. That's his vision. If his kingdom will come without you praying, why do you have to pray it? If he'll bring his kingdom anyway by his sovereign power, even if you don't pray, well, why even put it in there? Why ask me to ask him to do what he wants to do? That sounds strange. God wants his kingdom to come, but it won't come unless I ask him to make it come. I want a nickel. You got to ask me to give myself a nickel before I get the nickel. See, man, I don't understand that kind of reason. You already got the nickel, but you won't give yourself a nickel unless I ask you to give yourself a nickel so you can go out and buy your nickel candy bar. That's what God's done. I can build a kingdom, but you have to ask me to build the kingdom I want and I can build, or I won't build the kingdom that I want that I can build. So how strange is this? Why did you pray thy kingdom come? If he will do it without you asking him. Did you know that God won't do anything he has promised to do unless you ask him? What did James say? You have not because you ask not. God won't do anything he wants to do. He wills to do, he longs to do, he needs to do, unless you ask him. He wants to do what's right and what's best, but he won't do what's right and what's best for you unless you ask him to do it. What else did you pray this morning? Thy will be done on earth. Do you think God's will is done on earth today? Well, you know he's not. I mean, you just pick up the paper. I haven't picked up today's paper, but I can just pick up today. I can tell you, the will of God is not being done in America, Somalia, or anywhere else in the world today. Now, if God's will be done without somebody praying, why do I have to pray? God, do your will. Now, if you ran a business and you were the owner, you know what you do? I'm going to do what I want to do to profit me. I will do what I want done. It's my business. And if you don't want to do it, you're fired. That's the way you'd run your business. That's the way I'd run my business. But God says, not me. The employee must come to me and tell me, would you please produce some serum for cancer? Then I'll do it. That's why you praying, thy will be done. You mean if I don't pray, God's will be done, it won't be done? No. You say, well, God is hurting himself. That's the limitation that God has placed on the way he's going to run his business. Who am I to question it? It doesn't, to me, sound like he's going to get very far. Because if we really don't mean thy will be done and thy kingdom come, then he won't do it. And then it never will happen. And then he never gets his vision. And to me, that gets very frustrating. And God's will never get done on this earth unless you and I ask him. Unless the workforce asks God to do the work that God wants done by himself through you. Now, God is sovereign, and God can do anything that he wills to do. He can. But he has will to limit himself to the prayers of his workforce. What if I don't care about his kingdom? Boy, he's got a problem workforce. A real problem. And I think sometimes that's the problem that we have today. We don't really care about his kingdom coming on earth. So much of our prayer, I believe, consists of asking him for favors for us to build our kingdom on earth. And for our will to be done about our little kingdom on earth. And we have no concern whatsoever about his will, his work, his possessions, his purpose, his pleasure, and his kingdom. I look at my prayers and I'm praying primarily for Billy. And my little kingdom and my will be done on earth. And very little concern about his. I do most of my praying for me and somebody else and their kingdom and their safety and their will and their health and their prosperity. Notice our praying. Little of it concerns any of God's kingdom being established upon this earth. God's pleasure, God's work, God's will, God's laws, God's plans materializing on this earth. While we're shutting God out of everything in America. And even in our prayers, folks, we're more us conscious than we are kingdom conscious. My kingdom is very important. But what about God's kingdom? And I think we get sometimes involved in praying for God to build our kingdom. When really God's vision is to build his kingdom. And he's not at all concerned about our kingdom. Especially when our kingdom interferes with building his kingdom. And sometimes that's exactly what happens. People say, well, I'm just too busy to pray. Too busy what? Building my kingdom. It's kind of a hard thing to say, but I'm saying it to me as well as to you. I've never thought about this before. Our prayers are really, God help me more than you'll help yourself. Look after my interests more than you look after your own interests. Bless me before you bless yourself. And we don't seem to see any connection between the two. And there ought to be. God bless me so I can bless you. May my kingdom be part of your kingdom. When you build my kingdom, you're building your kingdom. That's the way it ought to be. He who prays most does most. For God, because you see, he releases God to do the most that he wants to do. He sets God free to do things for me. Ask of me, God says. That's the condition that'll put my forces into operation. Ask of me. Not for yourself, but for me. Ask of me. that I might be released to do what I need to do to bring my vision through that I have for me. And this is why we're repeatedly told in Scripture, folks, to pray. And we are. It's constantly, are we, from Genesis to Revelation, told to pray. Pray for why? And we normally think for our benefit, for our protection, for our health, for our good. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not primarily why we're to pray. We're to pray that God's kingdom come and that God do those things that are necessary to bring his kingdom to be. We are praying to put God to work. If I can put it very clearly, we are praying to put God to work. And he says, I want to go to work. Just give me a work order. That's all I ask. Just give me a work order. But make sure it pertains to his kingdom. God, here's the work order. Send me $1 million today. Well, that's fine if that's going to build his kingdom. What are you going to do with it? And as your answer comes out, it has nothing to do with his kingdom. See? These people win money all the time. What are you going to do with your money? I have got one to say. You know, I'm going to build God's kingdom. They're not going to do that. They're going to put it in the bank and have a good time. Well, this is, you see, our thinking is all confused. As we read Scripture about praying, we're even confused about that. The Lord's Prayer straightens you out. You're praying about God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. You're praying about God's kingdom come. That's what prayer is all about. And we skip all that stuff and just go straight to give us this day our daily bread. And just skip the rest of it. The two kinds of prayer, you know this. I want to quickly get through with this. But there are two kinds of prayer in the Bible. One is what you do by yourself privately, and that's what you do with others collectively. That means two or more, by yourself privately or with others. The Bible seems to say, and I understand this, I accept this, that there's more power and success from praying with others than praying by yourself. I am not saying you do no good to pray by yourself. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there are two kinds of prayer. And the one where you join in agreement with somebody else seemingly offers more promise of answers. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Now, I didn't say this. I can only try to understand it. I'm saying both kinds of praying is important. Jesus prayed by himself. Jesus prayed with others. He tells us this, so he's telling us something that we otherwise would never know. Chapter 18, verse 18 through 20. Verse 18 has always puzzled me, and I have read verse. People have said about this verse, and I have never liked what they said. I've never understood what a lot of them said. I've never agreed. It doesn't make sense what they said. So I want to give you an answer today that satisfies me. All right? And I can live with this interpretation I want to give you of verse 18. Seems like a powerful verse. Gives you such tremendous influence over people and over situations. It almost sounds out of fantastic proportions. Jesus said, I'll tell you this is the truth. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He's talking about prayer. Verse 19. Again, I say to you. He's repeating verse 18. Again. But he's just giving us another slant of verse 18. Again, I say to you. Let me put it another way. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that is loosing or binding, if they shall agree as loosing or binding anything they shall ask, if they'll agree, it'll be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Wow, what a promise. For where two or three gather together in my name, that is to pray, there I am in the midst of them. Now, Christ lives in all of us through the Holy Spirit. Even when I am alone in the car or wherever I might be and there's no one there, Christ is there. All right? When you have two come together, you have two people who are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ. But he says you're going to add one more number there. You don't have two praying, you got three. Where's number three? Jesus says, and I don't understand this, that I will bring my presence into that two. two group in a special way. That I will give more influence and power to the prayer of two than of one. I don't find anywhere where it's promised that he'll come and add one if you pray by yourself. You got him already. But here we find two, three, four, five. Always, if you count the group, add one more. And that one more, Jesus says, I will be there. I'll be in that prayer meeting. What's he going to be doing? Now follow me. And I'll close on this. Go back to the verse that's confusing. Now let me tell you what, as that verse is read, I used to always think. It sounds like that God is giving us tremendous power to bind people so they won't misbehave, or they will behave like we want them to. That we, through prayer, can bind situations. That we can bind events. That we can tie things up just like we want them tied up. We can arrange circumstances and make them just like we want them. And heaven will say, I'll guarantee you what he says has to be done. Now that's why I look at that verse. Or you want to loose people from circumstances, or from some kind of entrapment, or some kind of tragedy, or from their sins, or from some kind of situation they find themselves, all you have to do is just pray, they'll be loose, and heaven says, I'll guarantee you, amen, and heaven will amen it. And I said, man, that can't be right. You know, that has not proven right in experience, in the testimonies of Christians. That can't be the right interpretation. I don't have the power to tie everything in knots that I don't like, and untie every knot that I don't like. I don't have that power, and you don't either. I am not in control of every situation, and heaven does not amen every command that I give, combining, loosing, or binding something. God is not at my command, and heaven's angels are not at my command, and I can't control every situation by just saying, I bind that situation. I've seen preachers, I bind that situation. Well, bind away all you want to, you know. I loose you from debt. Go home rich. You know, I can say that and let you go, oh boy, I'm rich. And go ahead and spend something you haven't got this morning. If you believe me. But I don't have that power. I don't. So I never bought that interpretation. Let me tell you today what I think Jesus is saying. In the context, Jesus is saying to us, as he wants to build his kingdom, it's Christ's kingdom. He is the king. He's interested in the kingdom on earth because he gets to reign over the kingdom. He is the king. All right? He wants his kingdom established. That's his dream. That's his vision. All right? He says, for my kingdom to come on earth, there are certain things. Certain people, the devil, there are certain situations that need to be stopped, need to be bound, need to be controlled. For my kingdom to be established, there are certain things that need to be bound, that are now running rampant and running loose. And then there are things that are now bound by man, by circumstances, by conditions, by situations, that I want released. There are things on earth that I want bound, and there are things on earth that I want released. There are things I want changed on the earth. These things stand in the way of my purposes and my will and my plans and my pleasure and my kingdom. There are doors that I want opened, and there are doors that I want shut on the earth. Now, if you will pray in agreement with me, he's there praying in agreement. He is determining what I'm going to be binding and loosening. And he's saying, if you will agree with me about these things, I can guarantee you, heaven says, they are bound. If you'll just tell me to do what I want to do, I'll tell you I'll do it. That's all he's saying. I want that door shut. If you'll agree together and ask me to shut the door, heaven says the door will be shut. Just ask me to do what it is I want to do. Ask me to loose what I want to loose. ask me to bind what I want to bind, and heaven says it's done. That's all he's saying. And this is a key verse that just says, please ask me to do what heaven wants to do. And Jesus comes down and joins the group to instill in us the desire, ask me to do what it is I want to do. Would you pray together? And if you will bind, if you will pray for the thing on earth to be bound that's already been desired bound in heaven, it'll be bound in heaven, and I'll guarantee it because I have come from heaven to answer the prayer, which is my own prayer. The Bible says that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying. What is he praying? Well, we know he's praying for us. Is that all he's praying? I believe he is praying for these things right here. Things to be bound that need to be bound. Things to be loosed that need to be loosed. Doors to be opened that need to be shut and shut that need to be opened. He's praying that, and he's praying that somebody will join him in praying so he can do it. I know that's a strange way to run your business, but that's the way he's doing it. And he's saying right here, you got to ask me before I can bind them. You got to ask me before I can loose them. But if you guys will get together and do it, I'll do it. I'm just asking you to put me to work, doing the work that I want to work. I know it sounds strange, but Jesus is eager for you to pray for his kingdom to come. For that's the only way he can do the will to bring about the kingdom. It may, again, I repeat, sound like a strange way to operate your business. It sure puts a lot of limits on what you can do. It limits you to the prayers of your workforce, and if they don't pray, you're in real trouble. That's true. But God has chosen that to be the means by which he will build his kingdom, not through a providential, mighty decree of his voice, but through the prayers of his workforce. If this is true, and I believe it is, can you not see God has a vision for his people to pray? Not for themselves, primarily, but for him to do his work so his kingdom can be established. Father, we're thankful today that we can be such a vital link and part. And it does seem very difficult in our minds and our thinkings to comprehend that we can limit your will being done on this earth just simply by not asking your will be done and that you do it. We do pray that we may understand and comprehend this morning the obligation that we have to help you to release your power and to release your force that your work and will can be accomplished. May we not be one that's binding you through lack of prayer. May this be a day in which we dedicate ourselves to praying more than ever before with the intention of what is it that you want loose? What is it that you want bound? What circumstances do you want changed? And ask you to do it, using us or somebody else, at least asking that you do the thing you want to do as we are taught in the Lord's Prayer to do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.